We're in the series on the fruit of the Spirit, the nature of real church. Real church is our theme for the year, learning what it means to be what God designed, this beautiful, awesome thing called the church. Merrily is passing out outlines right now if you didn't get yours coming through, so if you want to put up a hand, she'll get that to you. But let's quote our verse out of Galatians 5, 22 to 23, would you? Put it up on the screen and we'll quote it together. Here we go, let's all say it together. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Let's say it one more time. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. We land on peace today. We're not going to talk about peace. On a stress level, the opposite of peace, on a stress level, if one was no stress at all, life is great, you literally have no stress, and 10 is you're off the charts going crazy right now, think about where you are on that stress scale. How many would say that you are a 3 or less? In other words, life is pretty stress-free right now. Okay, I think I count 3, and one of them is Dylan, but I'm surprised Vaughn did not raise her hand. I think we got to continue some counseling and figure that one out. How many would say between, say, 3 and 7? Like middle ground stress. Okay, quite a few more hands. How many would say between like 7 and 10? Like things are nuts right now. Interesting. There's a lot of stress going on. Amen? I mean, we know this. We don't have to like guess about this. The world is crying out amid violence and strife, peace, peace. Give peace a chance. We want more peace. Book of the Thessalonians, Paul writes the very same words. The world cries out, peace and safety, peace and safety. But there is no peace. Maybe for some, on a sporadic basis, but on a global scale, peace is a very elusive thing. I want to tell you, peace will never be found apart from God because peace comes from God. He is our peace, the scripture says. If you know God, you'll know peace. If you have no God, you'll have no peace. We've already learned about the undying love that is the fruit of the Spirit, the unspeakable joy that is the fruit of the Spirit. And what we need to learn today is the unshakable peace of God. Father, in Jesus' name, open our hearts and minds to understand what you have to say to us today. And I pray, Lord, that when we walk out of here, we will walk away in the peace of God that surpasses understanding. In Jesus' name. And everybody said? Amen. Amen. Let me give you 3 principles this morning. 3 principles of peace. Number 1, put aside your expectations and put your trust in God. If you have your outlines with you, circle the words expectations and trust. Expectations and trust. You see, when you have expectations, when you think things ought to go the way you think they ought to go, when you have it planned, you have an agenda, you have your way, then stress can easily come into your life and peace can be robbed from you when that doesn't work. And how many know that your expectations don't usually or even regularly turn out the way you thought they would? And so out the door goes your peace. But the opposite of that is trust. Now you can have some relative expectations. You can't go through life just kind of blindly. But it's when you submit those to God and really trust Him that you can remain in trust. You can remain in peace. It's been a number of years ago that I took a group of young adults up to Tahoe for a ski weekend. And we made it up there, had a great time. It was the days when we all went up in one vehicle. We had a 15-passenger van and then another vehicle with us. And, you know, it's a 4.5-hour trip getting to Tahoe. It took us over 36 hours to get home. If there is such a thing as a trip from hell, that was it. And on the way home, we got down to Auburn area and stopped for a hamburger and got back in the van. And most of us were in the van and we're having fun. About 30 minutes outside of Auburn, the van just like it was out of gas. And I looked and I got a full tank. I just filled up when we stopped. Like, why is it acting this way? And so we pulled over on the side of the road. We just kind of hung out, went, oh, you know, I don't know. Let's just figure it out. We let the van rest a little bit, like a half an hour. Started it up, and what do you know? It started right up. Weird. I wonder what that was about. Drove about maybe 10 minutes down the road, stopped again. This went on for about 4 hours. Stop and start, stop and start. And we're praying. I'm laying hands on the van. I'm sitting in the van with my hands on the engine compartment. People are laying their hands on me like Aaron and Hur, and I'm Moses in the thing. People are starting to prophesy. I see spark plugs. I think it's spark plugs. And this, it was just nuts. And I'm a young pastor, and I'm thinking in my mind, you know, you're the leader. You got to do something and, you know, show everybody how much faith you have, and God's going to revive the thing. And every time it would start, I felt like we had the miracle. Then it would die again, and we had no miracle. This went on for hours. Till finally we got a clue and started shuttling people back in the extra vehicle. And three of us stayed with the van overnight. It was in Benicia, I think. And we got a hotel, left the van in a repair shop. We got in the next afternoon. They said they fixed it. We got in, drove half hour down the road. After it was in the repair shop. Again, another 2 or 3 hours. We made it to Danville. Finally, there was a shop I knew pretty well. We left it there. We waited all day. And the problem was a little piece of rubber about that long that leads from the fuel, from the gas tank to however it goes to get to the engine. And you know when you suck on a straw too hard and it pinches? That's what was happening. And I didn't know any better. We could have just left the gas cap off because it had vapor lock. We could have left the gas cap off and would have been fine. I just want to tell you this morning, my peace was out the window, and everybody could see it. That I was confessing sin. I was doing everything, thinking, God, what's the equation? I got to do all the right things because I'm expecting if I do the right things, we'll get our miracle, we'll get home, and I'm sick of being on the road. I'm sick of standing, on the freeway. God, my expectations were just dynamited on that trip home. And I learned so much about trusting God, about assuming with God, about expecting from God rather than trusting God. And I learned a lot about trusting God. I still pray for miracles. I still pray and expect God to move, but if He doesn't, I no longer am tempted to lose my salvation over it. You see, our lack of peace comes from our sense of expecting and expecting in some kind of perfection. God, this is the way I've got it planned. This is the way it should go. And it better happen that way. And if it doesn't, my peace is shot. It's out the door. If we put aside our expectations of what we think God ought to do, and instead trust Him and let Him do what He's going to want to do, we'll have a lot more peace. We want everything exactly the way we want. And we plan it all out. And we wonder why we're peaceless. How many of your experiences ever go exactly the way you planned? Never. And if we wait for that to happen, we're going to be very, very peaceless people. Oh, I got a new job. Now I've got peace. Well, it's demanding way too much time. I don't have any peace. Well, I got a new car. Yeah, but the payments are real high and the insurance is higher. Now my peace is gone. Well, I just got married. Now I'm going to have peace. But now I got to check in with this person all the time. Well, I want to be single. I like my single life, but I get really lonely. It doesn't matter where you are. No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, the expectations outside of the trust of God will rob your peace. And here's part of the reason. We lack the peace when we consider it a future goal versus a present reality. Here's what Zechariah prayed when Jesus was preparing to come to earth, and the angels came, that the angel said, I bring you good tidings of great joy. He'll bring peace to all the nations. And then the angel speaks to Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, and he says this to him, and Zechariah is writing the song. It says, and you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, to guide our feet into the path of peace. Now notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say he's going to guide your feet in the path to peace, but the path of peace. That little two-letter word is a big deal. Because if we're searching up for the path to peace, then the peace is something to aspire to. It's outside. It's if I get there, if I accomplish it, if my plans work out. I'm on this path somehow to peace. And God inspired Zechariah to say, no, it's not a path to peace, it's a path of peace. Say it with me. Not a path to peace, but a path of peace. You see, when things change inside of you, they'll change on the outside of you. And that's the truth. Outside is changing all the time. And if our insides change with what's going on outside, we'll need therapy. We'll lose our minds because the change is too much. But when we have the change inside, that changes everything on the outside. You can't project peace to a place, to a vacation, to a new house, to a marriage, to a new job. You can't project, when I get that, then I'll have peace. It'll never come. You'll never get there. Because you see, it's not a path to peace, it's a path of peace. It's not a someday peace. It's not a when-then peace. It's not a fairy tale, Beauty and the Beast, when I get my prince or I get my princess peace. It's not when I get out of debt peace. It's a path of peace, not a path to peace. It's a every step I take, I'm with him peace. Every move I make, he's with me peace. Every breath I take, he's with me peace. He is me peace. He is my peace. I'm not waiting for peace. I'm walking in peace. That was a real good time for an amen right there. Say it again. I'm not waiting for peace. I'm walking in peace. We got to get this. Because you can have the peace of God that surpasses understanding right now. It's a matter of where you think the peace is. He himself is our peace, Ephesians 2:24 says. Is God not with you? Are you confused? Okay, let me ask it again. Is God not with you? Okay, he's with us. If he's with us, where's the peace? It's also with us, right? It's also in us. God is in us. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not our fruit. It's his fruit. He lives inside of us. If he's living inside of me, then I've got peace and so do you. It's a matter of if we really trust that. Yeah, things are crazy. Yeah, things are like, whoa, I can't even keep my head around all this. That all doesn't matter. That's going to continue forever. But the God that's inside of us never changes. He's a rock. He's unshakable. And you too can have that unshakable peace. The solution for unmet expectations is trust. It's trust. Number two, stop trying to control your life and surrender control to God. Circle control and surrender. Again, the two words that work against each other in our lives. I want to control. If you want to control, you're not surrendering. When you're surrendering, you're no longer in control. And we've got to release that. Your desire for control will rob you of peace. What happens when things get out of control? You get stressed. We all do. Every one of us. Have you tried to control your job? Have you tried to control your kids? Now you discipline them, you raise them, but they do stuff. Have you tried to control your spouse? I was listening for who was going to murmur. We lack peace when we cannot control our circumstances. That produces worry and fear. When you can't control, you got your hands off the controls. You're like, oh, what's going to happen? I don't know. I'm nervous. Kind of like I rode with Pastor Sean once in his Tesla, that self-driving feature. That freaked the daylights out of me. What do you mean don't put your hand on the steering wheel? What do you mean you don't put your hands on the accelerator? You mean the thing is doing it on its own? Yeah, just let it go. Oh, heck no. No. I was with my grandson a couple weeks ago playing in the pool. And every father's done this. Every mother's done this. When you're trying to teach him to trust you and jump into the water, even though they don't really swim that well. And he's on the side. And it's not a high jump or anything. But he's losing his mind, fearful. And that made me mad because, dude, what he's telling me is, Grandpa, I don't trust you. I'm in 3 feet of water, and I can catch you. He's having none of it. He was just almost in tears. And I wasn't killing the poor kid, but trust me. But here's what was strange. If I didn't force him to jump into my arms and trust me to catch him, If I just put out my arm, water level, and that therefore left it in his control, he would jump. It was his responsibility to catch me. That little sucker would jump. And I started putting two and two together. The problem is, he trusts himself more than me. He trusts his ability to jump and catch versus my ability to catch when he jumps. Can I tell you that when God is in control, you can trust him. But it takes our surrender. We got to surrender that and know that he truly is going to catch us. He will keep you in perfect peace, those whose minds are steadfast. It's you, God. It's only you, God. It's you're my everything, God. You're the strong, powerful one. You're the unchanging one. You're the sovereign one. You're the creator. You will not fail me. And I surrender to that. If you have to wait to no longer be afraid to have peace, you're never gonna have peace. There's 365 fear nots in the Bible, one for each day of the year. Jesus is constantly saying, fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not. Oh, little one, why did you fear? Oh, why did you? He's always saying that because that's what we do. We get afraid as little children. If my plans cause me stress, then I'm going to need to change my plans in order to get peace. If people cause me stress, then I'm going to need to make or wait for people to change before I can have peace. Why put my trust in that? Why surrender to that when I can surrender to God who never changes and therefore I can always have peace? I release my expectations and I trust him. I release my control and I surrender to him. I don't want to have a peace that comes from situations because situations change. I don't want to have a peace that comes from a job. Jobs change. I don't want to have a peace that comes from people. People change. I want to have a peace that is unshakable. If the world gave me my peace, the world can take it away. And I don't want the world to take away my peace. So I can't trust in that. I can't surrender to that. I've got to surrender to God that is my rock, that is my peace. I want a peace that surpasses understanding. I want a peace that will guard my hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's the kind of peace I want. And that doesn't come from anybody else but our Lord and Savior. Philippians 4, 5 to 7, you know it. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious for anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Don't you love it when God gives us a really nice, tight equation? And this is one of those. Those of you that raised your hands on the 8 to 10 scale, or those that raised your hands even on the 3 to 7 scale, here's your answer right here. The Lord is near. He's here. Number one, he's here. Not gone anywhere. He's with you. Don't be anxious, but pray. But pray. He didn't say anxiousness was a sin in that moment. He just says, listen, I know you're going to feel that way. Pray. Pray with thanksgiving, though. I pray, Lord Jesus, I'm so thankful that you're a big God. I'm so thankful that you've got me and will never let me go. I'm so thankful that you know my tomorrow before I get there. I'm so thankful you know that you're going to work through me and you're going to work all things together for good. I know you're building something in me. Even when I see these hard times come, I'm thankful to you, Lord. Now here's my request. With thanksgiving, make your request known to God. And here's what happens. And you don't even know how it happens. It's this weird spiritual thing that somehow God is able to invade our hearts and invade our minds. And it says, and the peace that surpasses understanding. In other words, you don't get it. You don't understand how it happens. But when you submit to God, when you surrender to him, and you begin to pray, and God begins to bathe your heart and mind, suddenly you go, I feel better. I feel better. I don't feel so stressed. How'd that happen? God's going, just lucky, I guess. No, I said, I'm with you. I will guard your heart and mind. I'll set up a wall in front of your heart and mind and keep those stresses out when you trust me that way. The solution for releasing control is surrender. So let's release our expectations and trust God. Say it with me. Release our expectations and trust God. Number two, release control and surrender. And number three, cut off any compromising behavior and submit to God. Your outline, circle compromise and submit. Notice our three words, expectations, control, compromise. They've got to go. Replace them with trust, surrender, and submission. And you'll find the peace of God coming new into your life. We lack peace when we give in to sin, creating conflict within our spirit. And we read that in Galatians 5. Very first message on this, it was clear that Paul wrote, there's two natures, a sinful nature and a spiritual nature, and they fight. They don't get along. And so why do we wonder we have no peace when we're not doing the right things? And God already said, if you're doing the wrong thing, while the Spirit of God is in your life, there's going to be inner conflict. Because the two don't get along. The Holy Spirit wants dominion. Your flesh wants dominion. Your sinful nature wants to take over. And God is working to sanctify you, to set you free. And there's that conflict inside, a massive tug of war inside of your life. And you know it. You're causing it by your behavior. You can't serve two masters, folks. You got to serve one or the other. 1 Peter 3:11 says, they must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. You can replace seek peace and pursue it with seek God and pursue it, because He is our peace. It's synonymous. You must turn from the evil. Turn from it. 180, repentance. Turn from it and do good and seek God. Seek the peace. But some of us want both. And I know that's where you are, because that's what I do too. God, can I have a little bit of what I want, a little bit of the sinful nature, a little bit of giving into temptation, and I want to have your joy and your love and your peace at the same time. And God says, no, it doesn't work that way. One kills you, one gives you life. One pollutes you, one refreshes you. One clogs your spiritual arteries, the other one creates a beautiful conduit for my spirit to move through your life. You know, this is true. There are some non-Christian people who have nothing to do with God that are more at peace than some of us. What? How could that be? Well, yeah, ultimately their behavior is going to destroy them. But there's no conflict there. They don't have the Spirit of God in their life to create that conflict. They're just all for the devil. Now, yeah, there will be consequences, and they will die. But you see, what I'm trying to say is a lukewarm Christian is the most miserable person on the planet. A Christian who is trying to live in both is absolutely miserable. You know why? Because you got too much Jesus to enjoy the world, too much of the world to enjoy Jesus. You're in trouble. You can't enjoy anything. There's no peace anywhere. Because you're trying to play the fence. And you can't. Romans 3:10-18 says, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. The way of peace they do not know. It's trouble. Seek peace. Seek God. Pursue it. Put aside any compromising behavior. Do it today. Jesus said, make it aggressive. Right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. Right arm causes you to sin, cut it off. Now, I don't want anybody coming in church blind and deformed next week. He's talking about spiritual surgery. The solution for overcoming compromise is submission. So say it with me. What's the solution for unmet expectations is what? Trust. Solution for having to have control is what? Surrender. The solution for compromise is what? Submission. Put those three words somewhere, remember them, and you'll live in peace. Well, when 2020 will just end, and the COVID lockdowns are done, then I'll have peace. Yeah, then 2021 came. Political unrest and job struggles and high prices. And then 2022 came and more high prices and inflation and fears of recession and blah, blah, blah. Have we got it through our heads yet that the change of the calendar is not going to make a difference? It's just not going to happen. Oh, but when my life gets better, it'll all be peaceful. Just take it from an old timer right now, would you? And there's some old timers that'll add on to this story that are older than me. When I was younger, if I could just get the girl. If I could just get the girl. Oh, and by the way, if I could just get my license and the girl. Because then we could be free. But I got to pay for the gas. I got to pay for the insurance. And then sometimes the girls just weren't the right ones. So finally, find the right girl and get married. But now there's responsibilities. And it's, you got to try to get along with her and all of that. And she's trying to get along with me. And then maybe we'll have kids and that'll be great. And then you have kids and you find out that, oh man, can we rewind that one? They're just keep you up at night and they're just crying and the messes and all the stuff. And they're great. But then when I get to the next stuff, when they get grown up and they get on, a little bit more freedom, I don't have to cart around the diaper bags and the car seats and all the stuff that you got to have when you got kids. Yeah, but now they're independent. They have their own car and you're wondering, where in the world are they? I don't even, who's influencing them? What's going to happen then? And then they get married, and like, great, it's somebody else's problem now. You take them. But then you still worry about them, and you still, now you're kind of lonely because the kids are gone, and I wish they'd come and visit. And then the grandkids, and on, and the grandkids come, and you want to play with them, but you can't because your back hurts, and your knees hurt, and everything hurts. It doesn't matter. You following me? It doesn't matter. It's not a path to peace. It's not when I get there, when I get that, when I achieve that, when I accomplish that. None of that matters. It's all going to change. What matters is in here, the peace of God. And when you trust Him, surrender to Him, and submit to Him, therein you'll find the peace that surpasses understanding. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I don't give to you as the world gives. Don't let your heart be troubled, and don't be afraid." I love that. Jesus is making sure to tell us, there's a way to peace that the world says, and it's, nah. I'm going to give you peace, but I don't do it the same way they do. My peace will come through, trust me, surrender to me. Submit to me. There you'll find peace. Pastor Sean, come on up. Peace is there. We need peace for ourselves. Nobody likes to be anxious. I don't. I hate being stressed. Last week was a busy week. I could have guessed that was going to happen. Anytime I preach on a particular subject, God says, "You really believe that? Let's find out." It was a busy week, and I found myself going over these things over and over and over this week. And you know what? God is faithful. God is faithful. I like what Jesus said in that last verse I read to you. Don't let your hearts be troubled. That's our job. We make a decision, Lord. Yeah, things are nuts. But I'm going to choose to not let my heart get wound up. Instead, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to surrender the control to you. With thanksgiving, I'm going to make my requests. And I'm going to submit anything in me that's maybe causing an internal conflict. That's where we need to be today. And I want to invite you to join that. Come into that. Step in. The alternative is, okay, stay stressed. I mean, it's really kind of simple. I know in our minds we say, I want to choose peace. But at what cost? Do I really have to give that up? Well, no. You don't have to. But if you keep it, you'll forfeit peace. So let's make some choices today. Their heads bowed and your eyes closed. I want to walk through each of these and just ask you to respond if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. That first point, you're here today and say, Lord, I've had expectations about how my life should turn out. When I was younger, maybe I had an idea of what my future would look like. and it's not turned out that way. And it's left me with some anxiety, some frustration. And Lord, I choose today to release that. And from this day forward, I want to choose to trust you. Anybody praying that prayer? Put up a hand, put it back down. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Maybe you really had a hard time releasing control. I can get that way sometimes. I want to have my hands on the wheel. I want to make sure it gets done right. Right means my way. And when it doesn't go my way, I can lose my peace real fast. The solution to that is to surrender. God, you know how to drive better than I do. You know my future better than I do. You know my circumstances better than I do. You know what's around the next bend better than I do. I choose to surrender the control. The Holy Spirit is touching on that one. Would you put up your hand? Back down. Yeah, all over. Thank you. The last one is maybe there's some compromise. God cannot live peacefully inside your life when he's fighting against your will to sin. So maybe there needs to be some cleaning out. So if you're here to say, I would agree, I've got some things I need to clean out. Because there's conflict in my life, and I know it. I know I've been doing it. I know that this is an issue. If that's you, would you slip up your hand? Yeah, thank you. Thank you for being honest. We're going to go to our linger time. If you're a guest with us today, this is something that we do at the end of each service because we don't really feel like it's wise to be challenged by God's word and then just run out. It takes time to let it sink in. It takes time to seek him, to pray, and to tell him. It's one thing to raise your hand, put it back down. Let's really do it. So for the next 15 minutes or so, or really as long as you like, if you want to stay longer, you can. Pastor Sean's just going to play some quiet music and dwell on these three things that we talked about today. And pray. If it's a little bit awkward to pray where you are, you can come up to a front and get more alone. That's okay. But let's pray this in. Let's pray it into ourselves. If you have to go, please don't feel judged or guilty by that. It's okay. Just go ahead and step out quietly. And we're going to have a good barbecue in a little bit. So we're going to enjoy that too. So I hope you won't just run off. Come and hang out with us and enjoy some good food. But let me pray for you and then we're going to linger. Oh, the elders will be kind of in the corners if you want to specifically speak to one of the elders and be prayed for. They'll be at each side. Okay, they'll be standing so you can see them. Father, in Jesus' name, you are the Prince of Peace. I pray, Lord, that in a world gone crazy, if the church is crazy too, how are we to be identified? But in a crazy world, if the church is at peace, that's a glaring uniqueness. That truly is salt and light. And I pray in Jesus' name that we will be a people of peace so that the world will know there's an alternative. They don't have to be crazy. They can come to Jesus and they know how because they've seen a Christian. And they know that those Christians, how come they're at peace? Help us to be those kind of people, Lord. Now, God, we want to press in. We want to call upon your name for the peace of God. Let's go ahead and spend some time in linger. Let's make this a house of worship and prayer. Again, if you've got to go, God bless you. Stay for the barbecue. And have a great week.
It is well. It is well with my soul. It is well. With my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. Thank you, Father, for the peace that surpasses all understanding. I pray, Lord God, that we would continue to seek you each day. Allow the Spirit of God to move through us. And I pray, Lord, that in this week that comes upon us, Lord God, that I pray we would be in surrender for what you will do in our lives. May you be glorified. It's in Jesus' mighty name we pray unto you. Amen.